AM and federalnewsradio.com.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Interfacing complete. Please stand by. Now downloading Tech Talk Radio with Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ. Tech Talk Radio, it's technology you can understand. And now, here are Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ.
Welcome to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. I'm Dr. Richard Schertz.
And I'm Jim Russ.
It has been an interesting week in technology yet again. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of talk about how Google is going to dominate the world when they take absolute control of all of your data. And we'll talk about that. Is
you
it good?
You say that with a smile
is
on
it,
your face.
Is it good or is it bad? You know, in Star Trek, they had the computer that you could talk to and it would give you whatever you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Google wants to be the Star Trek computer to the world. So it's more than just doing searches. It is now controlling your personal life and giving you information when and where you want it. We'll talk about their plans and how they're doing it. Some people are delighted, and some people are terrified, depending on your viewpoint.
Sure.
We're getting close to the 25th anniversary of the GIF photograph.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the founder likes to call it GIF, like Jiffy...
Peanut butter.
Like
GIF
peanut butter, yeah, mm-hmm. but... So he always says that, but it's always going to be GIF to me, G-I-F. We'll briefly talk about that later in the show. And today we're going to feature the man who is behind Tumblr, which, of course, is the blogging site that was recently purchased by Yahoo for $1.1 billion. Now, normally we have people that drop out of college to start their system. Well, David Karp dropped out of high school, so he's not a high school grad or a college grad.
Wow.
So we'll talk about yet another disappointed mom as we go through.
But somebody who's a huge success.
They'll go through the huge success. And a few other things. Intel is, of course, coming out with a low power usage processor to try to get back in the mobile device game, which they've pretty well lost out so far. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we got a huge mailbag.
A huge one.
There's a letter in your mailbox.
Yeah. Oh, it's really heavy, this mailbag.
That didn't sound very heavy.
No.
Much better. Much
I'll tell you,
better.
I can barely, you know,
we may have to take a commercial break and come back and do the mailbag.
We're going to have to
or
do
not.
Something. Okay. Yeah. We got an email from Mary. Dear Dr. Schertz, I have stuff on my Dell laptop that I don't ever know where it came from.
That's
I didn't
not a
download
good thing.
It. I didn't install it. Like this toolbar is an example. How do I remove it and get another one? And get another, and assure that I don't get another one installed going forward. Thanks, Mary. And Mary sent me an image of a toolbar. Well, actually, Mary, that was a toolbar that comes natively with Windows Explorer. It's actually the favorites bar because it listed all of your favorite links on there. So mm-hmm. I could see all of Mary's favorite links when she sent me that toolbar.
Oh, good grief! That's
yeah.
not good.
Well, nothing. Nothing scandalous.
Well, no, but still, but, you know, people like their privacy.
Exactly. That's why I'm not listing them all here on the show.
That's
so
awfully
what
nice
you can
of
do,
you.
You can go to the top of Windows Explorer, and you can right-click, and that little menu will come up, and you'll see something in the menu bar called Favorites Bar. Just uncheck it, and then it will go away. You may also see some other toolbars up there that you didn't want, like ask.com. You know, so they try to get you to install these things. You can also unclick all of those so you can actually minimize the amount of stuff at the top of the browser. So that was actually not malware. That was actually installed within Windows Explorer. But you did bring up kind of a broader issue that we have across the board. Every time you download something, they always want you to download their own toolbar. So you have to look at the download message and uncheck all the things that they want to stick on your computer. That's how you get all these extra toolbars. I periodically have to go into Marianne's computer and get rid of all that stuff because she just loves to install every stinking thing that she could download.
Why is my computer running so slowly?
Yeah, so I have to go and work on that. There's also another problem that you've got a Dell computer, and that comes with what I call crapware. This is all of this software that essentially is just thrown in there, and they have a 30-day trial version, and they want you to buy it to extend it. Now, the companies actually pay Dell to load that crapware on your hard drive.
Watch your tongue.
I know, and so we should say unnecessary wear.
There you go. This is a family show.
Yeah. Let's see. It's actually that's an acronym that stands for something.
I know.
That starts with computer.
It's being silly.
So
play along, Doc.
So what I do in that case, I actually go into the control panel, and I go to Open Programs and Features, and I look at all the list of stuff that's been installed. And there'll be a lot of things there that aren't necessary that you just don't want, and I just uninstall them, get rid of them, and you'll see toolbars, you'll see stuff you don't want. Now, if there's something you really don't know what it is, you might want to leave it because it could be essential to your computer. But you'll see a lot of things that you really didn't want. These are just regular application programs. Just get rid of them. That's the first thing I do when I get a new computer. I just get rid of all that stuff because it just shuts everything down. And this toolbar, this spontaneous download of toolbar, is a common problem because the toolbar sometimes will actually track what you're doing with your browser. Then it delivers ads relating to what you're looking at. So it's got embedded in it adware issues. So I try to get rid of all that stuff. We got an email from Alice in Wonderland.
She wants us to know who she really is.
I wonder if that's Wonderland, Maryland, or Wonderland, Virginia. What do you think? I don't know. I'm not checking on that.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm lost.
Dr. Shirts. Oh, this is very formal. Dr. Shirts. I own an iMac and a Dell laptop, and I want to run Malwarebytes, which is a free antivirus, on the Dell. And it's unclear whether I must have my antivirus software, which I'm currently using, which is Comodo, Comodo, disabled while I run the scan. I did disable Comodo, then I downloaded Malwarebytes, but then it's just unclear if I need to continue to have antivirus or what should I do with Comodo. Consumer Reports, and not sure whether they're the best resource, has ranked rated security software that is free, and they have Avast, Avira, AVG, MS Security ranked in order with AVAST number one, Avira number two, AVG number three. So I installed some of these on my computer a while ago, and I'm getting error messages, so I uninstalled it. So now I'm using Comodo. What should I do? I'm a little confused. Well, first of all, Alice in Wonderland, you only want one antivirus. So and they tend to fight with each other, so you really only want one. Now, I know how you got into this conundrum because a few shows ago I recommended Malwarebytes, which is actually quite a good free malware and antivirus program. But it turns out that this Comodo that you have, Comodo, I checked its ratings. You know, you can go to the download.com, which is run by CNET, and they give pretty good ratings there. That got a spectacular rating, 5 stars. Not even 4.5 or 4, but 5 stars. And so, actually, I'm thinking I have not used it because I usually use the paid antivirus ESET, but based on those reviews, that looks pretty good. I think you can just go with that without and forget about using anything else. It turns out that Avast, AVAST, which was number one on the Consumer Reports, also got a spectacular rating. So that looks pretty good. And AVG, which was one that I commonly recommend to, AVG, that's a free one, that got spectacular. So I think there are new entries coming out to the field. MS Securities got a little bit lower than spectacular, and Avira got a little bit lower than spectacular. So you can't go wrong with AVG or with Avast, AVAST, or Comodo, Comodo. They can all get them from download.com run by CNET. It's a good question. And you frequently do have to disable your antivirus if you want to do something that that to your hard drive that the antivirus may not like. We got an email from Arnie McKechnie. He's one of our regular listeners from Davidsonville, Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Schertz, I was wondering if you could answer a quick question for me on Tech Talk. I have an original iPad and use the calendar that came with it. I want to get another monthly calendar, like something like the original or similar. But every time I download the calendar app, it syncs with my original calendar. I've downloaded several calendars from App Advice to Google's that were listed on App Advice or listed in Google. I've even paid for one app. They all sync to the original calendar. Do you know a way to get around just to get a monthly calendar that doesn't sync up with my original calendar? It's a Monday question, but it has me baffled. Well, Arnie, here's the deal. When you're installing your application, you've got to pay attention. They never allow an application to look at the data of another application unless you give it permission.
Mm-hmm.
So when you install the calendar, it's going to say, can we have access to your calendar? And if you say yes, gone, it's there. And it'll bring it right in. If you say no, it's not there. Now, the good news is you can go to the configuration page of the application, and the configuration page will actually have something called visibility, and it'll say which calendars are visible in this application. It'll be a list of calendars. So you could have your original Apple calendar, you could have a Yahoo calendar, you could have a Gmail calendar, you could have an Outlook calendar, and they'd all be listed there if you give that calendar access to those other calendars, and you can simply uncheck them and they'll disappear. So you can still save your. So just go to the configuration page where it says visibility and uncheck the other calendars. In a previous email question, we had somebody that had installed a calendar on their computer, and all of a sudden, all these extra things started showing up, and it turned out that they had allowed access to their Yahoo calendar.
Mm-hmm.
So they just had to go into visibility and uncheck their Yahoo calendar, and everything looked the same. A lot of times people get double entries because they'll have three or four calendars, and they'll have conflicting or double entries and things. All of a sudden you've got events that are listed twice, so just you can very easily control that. That was a good question. I also sent you – I'm still on the Arnie thing. I also sent you an article that talks about some multinational spying ring in India. I thought you'd be interested in that because you go to India quite often. That was a good article, Arnie. I'll feature that later in the show. Then Arnie said, I love the show. Arnie McKechnie from Davidsonville, Maryland. We got an email from a devoted listener.
Aha.
Not a devoted listener. Yes. Dr. Schertz, how does one find legitimate ways to use the computer at home to make a decent income? I own a Windows PC and an iMac. I really need to find at least one good option. Thanks, Bethesda fan and devoted listener. Well, I'm not going to talk about any of these, like, get paid at home for doing mm-hmm. things. Mm-hmm. But there are actually a lot of consultant sites are called freelance sites that are really good. The whole a lot of tech work, coding and web design, writing jobs are on these freelance sites. And I'll give you a few of them. And what you want to do on these freelance sites is that you'll set up an account, put down what you specialize in, and then you'll bid on jobs. So my advice is don't ask for any upfront money and ask for your initial bids, on the lower side, so you can establish a clientele, and you would like to get repeat customers. And if you actually can produce on time the product that you say you're going to develop, you can develop actually a real business out of this working on these freelance sites. Now, here are some of the freelance sites that are out there that I check. There's one, Odesk, O-D-E-S-K. That's a great one to start with. They've got all kinds of jobs on that, and it's easy to use. So for a beginner, it's not a bad one to start with. Odesk. There's also Elance, which is similar in nature, and of course there's the old standby Craigslist.
Mm-hmm.
But so there are actually jobs, freelance jobs on Craigslist. But of course Craigslist has a lot more stuff on it than just freelance. Then you've got the freelancer site, which is another one. The one for tech jobs that I like is Guru, G-U-R-U. And that's, guru.com. You can get a lot of tech jobs there. There's Demand Studios. That's another tech site. There's iFreelance. There's one if you're a writer. There's one called Freelance Writing Gigs. If you're a coder, they've got one called Rent a Coder. Or they've got another one for technology, 99 Design. So there's a technique here for getting on there. And you can probably go on multiple sites. And I think if you like to write or like to do anything technical, I think you're going to find some pretty good things there for yourself. But just Google freelance sites, freelance websites, and you'll see that whole list. We got an email from Knock in Ohio. We've got a whole hotbed of listeners in Ohio.
A hotbed, that's a great way to say it.
It's a hotbed of listeners in Ohio. Yeah.
An enclave.
It's an enclave. It says, Dear Doc and Jim, my sister has a computer with Windows NT. She got a new computer with the latest Windows. Can she install her old hard drive with NT onto the new PC so she can transfer all of the pictures that her sister sent her that are on her old hard drive?
This family has a lot of issues with pictures, doesn't it?
This family, apparently her sister is sending her a boatload of pictures, and they must be very special pictures that she wants to keep.
Very special, yes.
Very, very special.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. She says she has hundreds of family pictures that she wants to save. Knox said, We love the show. We stream it over the internet in Ohio using an iPhone app called TuneIn Radio.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I actually use that app, TuneIn Radio. It's pretty good. Knox, a loyal listener in Ohio. Well, this is they've got all kinds of problems relating to pictures.
Yes, they do.
Here's the good news. Your old hard drive can be read by the new computer. Now, you have a choice. You can make an external hard drive, and you'd connect it to your new computer using a USB, or you could actually install it in the case of your new computer. Now, the external hard drive is probably easier, but you'll have to get a case that fits your hard drive. You'll have to get one that fits the size of your hard drive. The old hard drives are like 5 1/4, what they call 5 1/4 disk diameter, and the newer ones are 3.5-inch disk diameter. So you get an external case that fits the hard drive form factor, as they say. Then there are two interfaces. That's the kind of plug that the hard drive uses to plug in the data. It's the data cord for the hard drive. There's the SATA or the IDE. Most of the newer ones are SATA, S-A-T-A, but the older machines like to run on IDE. And it's probable, it's hard to tell with Windows NT. If you were like Windows 98 or something, I'd say for sure it's an old computer. But NT was kind of in the transition. So you'd have to get a case that would support either SATA or IDE. So what I'd recommend if you want to do this would be just to take your hard drive out. You can actually look on the internet to see what the connection looks like. SATA or IDE, they actually the connector's different. Or you could take it down to your local computer store and they could tell you that. And then you just pop the hard drive into that case. And then you connect the case to your computer with the USB drive, and bingo, you're on.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that would be an easy way to do it. Now, if you want to install it in your new computer, you can easily do that. You just have to take out the now normally the new computers will have both IDE cables as well as SATA cables. So what you have to do is you've got to take off the cover, and you're gonna have to find one of the hard drive bays and then screw it in. They'll actually have screw holes there. So when you remove it from your old computer, keep the screws, and then you can screw it into your new computer. And then you'll plug in two cables into the hard drive. One will be the power cable, and one will be the data cable. And then in the case of IDE drives in particular, if there's another IDE drive on that same cable cluster, you're going to have to tell the new hard drive that you want it to be the secondary hard drive so it knows not to boot up on it. It goes to the other one first. And there's a little pin on the hard drive itself. You just move the pin one to the next, you just move this little shorting stub to the next couple of pins. You move it one down, and then that then sets it up as a secondary hard drive. And, since I don't know the specific hard drive you have, what I'd recommend that you do would be to take the numbers off the hard drive and just Google it, and you're going to see a picture that'll show you exactly how to do that. Most people just do the external hard drive, especially for pictures, because then they can carry them around. They're portable.
Right.
They can plug them into other computers and that sort of thing. Well, very good questions.
Yes,
I enjoyed
absolutely.
That.
Yep. And Doc,
yes.
we need to keep the computer, the email train coming.
Oh,
so how
that's
do we do
right.
that?
Oh, yeah. We love your emails. Send us emails to techtalk@stratford.edu. We'll get them on the show, or else we'll just respond to you directly. And, of course, we are monitoring the Facebook page. Go to facebook.com/techtalkonline, and we'll check your comments during the show. We may bring them up during the show. And, of course, we'd love you to sign up for the podcast. Go to techtalkonline.com, sign up for the podcast there, or go to Apple iTunes and search for Stratford Tech Talk Radio and sign up for the podcast there.
And you know, also learn all about our sponsor by going to stratford.edu. This is Tech Talk Radio every Saturday morning on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 1077 FM HD2. We'll be right back.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
Application and software developers shape our world. Those who design and build these systems are the leaders we follow. The School of Computer Information Systems at Stratford University's Tyson's Corner or Woodbridge campus offers programs with a real-world, hands-on education. In fact, many of today's Stratford IT grads are working in their chosen field. Make it work for you. Stratford University. Get working. Check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu. A rewarding future as a holistic caregiver or nurse practitioner. Combining the art of caring with the human science makes nursing today's breakout field. Stratford University's School of Nursing at the Tyson's Corner or Woodbridge campus offers a patient-centered approach with valuable core clinical training. Stratford provides a real-world education in nursing. In fact, many of today's Stratford nursing grads are working in their chosen fields. Make it work for you. Get working. Check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. And now it is time for
Profiles in IT.
Yes, today we're going to feature David Karp, K-A-R-P. David Karp is the founder and CEO of the short-form blogging platform Tumblr, T-U-M-B-L-R, which you might remember this last week was purchased by Yahoo for $1.1 billion. David Karp was born July 6, 1986, in New York City, and he grew up on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. Karp attended the Calhoun School from age 3 right up through the 8th grade, where his mom taught science. At 11, he began to learn HTML, hypertext meta language. That's the language of the web page. And he was soon designing websites for local businesses. Karp went on to attend the Bronx Science High School for 1 year. And then at age 15, he dropped out.
This happens.
He dropped out. He had a story.
Okay.
He had a story. He said, "Mom," he said, "look, if you homeschool me."
No.
Mom, if you homeschool me and I can work on all these other really fantastic projects on the side, when I apply for college, they will be so impressed with the volume of my output that I'll get admitted to a prestigious school like MIT or Caltech." Now, of course, his mom is working full-time as a science teacher.
She's
so,
got all kinds of time for this.
So he's going to have to manage his homeschooling on his own.
Okay.
So I think he worked his mom on this one, and he convinced her he's going to do it, and bingo, she said, "Okay, you can do homeschooling." Well, You know, as I've already indicated, he actually didn't finish his homeschooling. He never even finished high school, didn't even take a GED. He never went back to high school, doesn't have a high school diploma. Now, at age 14, this was the year before he dropped out to work on special projects, he got a job with the animation producer Fred Siebert, who was founder of the Frederator Studios. His name is Fred Siebert, so he's Frederator. Frederator Studios. Now, it turned out that David's mother had taught Fred Siebert's kids in school, and she was friends with his wife. Huh. So they said, hey, why don't you hire David, and he could do some work. So he started working there at this animation studio, Frederator Studios. And then the next year is when he dropped out. So I think his mom kind of regretted making that introduction.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Karp began taking Japanese classes at the Japan Society because he wanted to broaden himself, trying to be able to prepare his college application properly. And right. And he saw a math tutor, and his math tutor helped him write software for winning at blackjack and poker.
Oh, great.
Okay, I'm already seeing kind of a veer into the wrong direction here. Now, he met entrepreneur John Maloney. When John Maloney sought some technical help with his website called Urban Baby. This is a site for baby products, not that kind of baby. yeah, Urban Baby, real babies.
I understand.
Was an online parenting forum. And it turned out that a Frederator employee had recommended Karp for the job. Recommended by Frederator.
The Frederator.
So Karp completed what was estimated to be a two-day project in 4 hours. And Mahoney said, wow, you're good. And he made him Urban Baby's head of product. Now, this is at 15 years old. So he was head of Urban Babies, head of product, and he gave him a small amount of equity in the company.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, and he started there, and so around age 17, he was still working at Urban Baby. Karp decided to seek, because he was working out of his house, you know, it was one of this, and you work on your computer, and he said, look, I could be anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So he moved to Tokyo, but he still worked for Urban Baby.
Uh-huh.
So he was there working at, you know, I don't know what his mom was thinking about this whole deal. Like, I guess he was trying to, like, continue his sort of interest in studying Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to his blog. He's got Japanese characters on his blog. So I guess Japanese sort of intrigued him. So he moved to Tokyo while he worked for Urban Baby. 3 months, it turns out that they didn't discover he was there for 3 months. And then the guy that hired them, John Maloney said, you know, David, you're supposed to be working full time here for Urban Baby. What are you doing in Tokyo? So, David, I guess, you know, he continued to work there. And it turned out that Urban Baby was sold to CNET in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
So actually there was cash, and he had a small equity position. So he got some money out of the deal. I couldn't find out how much money he got. I also don't know what small equity position it was.
Mm-hmm.
So then he decided to start his own company. Now, see, and the other company that he knew about, this Fred, he started Frederator. So he said, yeah, I think I'll start my own company. I'm going to call it Davidville. I mean, if Fred can call his company Frederator,
then David ought to be
able to call his company Davidville. And he used money from the sale of the proceeds. And he was able to hire one employee. He hired Marco Arment, who replied to a Craigslist ad. Look now, I'm trying to show how unlikely this path is.
It's really one of a kind.
So he had a little bit of money, and so he advertised on Craigslist, okay, I'd like to programmer. Craigslist, and he got Marco Arment to apply, and he hired him. Now, it turned out that David Karp was very interested in tumble logs, T-U-M-B-L-E, tumble logs. These are short-form blogs. You see, what happens is young kids really are too busy to write a lot. So, mm-hmm. they like to make blog entries like a one sentence or two sentences. They want a really short. So a tumble log is sort of like Twitter, except it's you got more than 140 characters. You mm-hmm. might have two or three sentences, but they don't expect you to write some big three paragraph, you know, insightful Missive. Piece. No, it's, you know, it's like you post a picture and say, "Wow, doesn't that look cool?" You know,
here's the pizza I had last night.
Yeah, and so it was, and so it was very short. You know, I love pepperoni rather than, you know, Hawaiian pizza. And so it's a short form blog, but it turned out that that style of blog is very appealing to young kids. So the number of so all the users it has are very young.
Mm-hmm.
They're like in the teens and early 20s, and so he's attracting a certain demographic that advertisers love.
Yep.
And so it's called Tumblr because it's a tumble log. You see, it's a short blog. So he was interested in that. Oh, I haven't got to where he started the company yet. Sorry, I got ahead of myself.
Go ahead.
So he was interested in tumble logs. And so he said, and so Carp and Amit wanted to do a tumble log because they didn't want to do much, you know, actual writing. And they kept waiting around because they thought one of these other platforms like WordPress or one of these other blogging platforms was going to come out with a tumble log format. And they waited a year and nothing happened. So then they had a gap between their contracts at Davidville. I think the work at Davidville was a little far, you know, was a little sparse. And so they had a gap in any of their work at Davidville. So they decided to launch their own tumble log, and they began working on their own, and they actually wrote all the code in a 2-week period, and then they launched it in February 2007. Within 2 weeks, their Tumblr, and they named the log Tumblr, T-U-M-B-L-R. Within 2 weeks, they had 75,000 users. In 2 weeks. It's pretty impressive.
That is amazing.
By October of 2007, Carp shut down his consultancy, as they said, Davidville.
Uh-huh.
I think calling it a consultancy is a little bit...
It's a bit overblown.
It's a little bit. It's a little bit overblown. It's just, you know, it's just, Marco. It's just Marco and David.
It's two guys.
Two guys, Marco and David, running Davidville.
Two guys and a computer.
So they shut down the consultancy because working on Tumblr was taking too much time. So David renamed his company from Davidville to Tumblr. So now everything is like the name of the blog is there. He's changed the name of the company, so everything is now working well. He needed needed money because he shut down the consultancy, mm-hmm. and Tumblr makes no money. They don't sell ads.
Uh-huh.
So now he's developed this really exciting business that generates zero revenue. Because you see, you know, David's not doesn't have an MBA.
No, so, he just makes stuff, right?
Yeah, and so they had to get a small group of investors in order, just I guess, so they could have enough money to buy the peanut butter and jelly for dinner. And as of May 19th, 2013, Tumblr was hosting over 108 million blogs. 108 million blogs. All of these were at the demographic that Yahoo is salivating over, mm-hmm. because Yahoo tends to have older people,
mm-hmm.
who were here a long, long time ago. The young people, I mean, Yahoo is so ancient, the young people wouldn't even consider it. It's sort of not cool. So that became very appealing to Yahoo. So on May 20th, 2013... It's very recent. What is this? This is 25th. 5 days ago.
Yeah.
5 days. That's why it's current news. Days ago, Yahoo announced that they were buying Tumblr for $1.1 billion. They also announced that Carp would remain a CEO and they'd let it run as a separate subsidiary. And Marissa, CEO of Yahoo, promised not to screw it up.
You know when they promise they're not going to screw it up?
That's
when they screw it up.
Because the day before they sold it, what David Carp was being interviewed by somebody on TV, and he said, you know, the one thing I hate is advertising.
Mm-hmm.
I do not want Tumblr ruined by advertising. Well, actually, how is Yahoo going to make any return on investment unless there is advertising.
That's the only way, right?
And so the challenge is, how can you incorporate advertising into Tumblr without ruining the look and feel of it, and without, you know, just making people just move to the next free site without advertising?
Mm-hmm.
Karp's net worth is estimated to be $200 million. So David Karp dropped out of high school, you know, went around getting jobs, started a company with zero revenue, and he ended up having a net worth of $200 million. So I'd say now his mom is probably resting easy.
I'm not so sure about that.
You know?
It's funny. I'm looking at, as you're talking about him, you mentioned he now lives in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, across the river from where he grew up.
Right? Yeah.
He says that he's freaked out because he now feels like he's off the grid because he's out of, you know, Manhattan.
Yeah.
The place he lives in, $1.6 million.
Whoa.
Here, check this out.
Wow.
That's his
law.
Maybe
the money's going to his head.
I'm
going to
hold this up to the mic. See, it's a gorgeous place.
Hold that up, yeah. In 2009, he was named the best young tech entrepreneur by Business Week. In 2010, he was named to MIT's Technology Review TR35, which is one of the top 35 innovators in the world under age of 35. Karp's partner... it's his girlfriend,
yeah.
Rachel Eakley. I guess it's proper to say partner.
If you're not married.
If you're not married.
Right.
Instead of girlfriend, because maybe she has some stake. Maybe she had a piece of Tumblr.
I don't know.
I actually never got to that. She's a chef and a psychology graduate. They live together at Williamsburg, Brooklyn, and they have a pet dog named Clark. Now, I went to davidslog.com, davidslog.com, that's his blog,
mm-hmm.
And you can see as many pictures as you want of their pet dog, Clark. He's all over the place, so they're very proud of their pet dog, Clark. If you want to go to the Tumblr website, that would be tumblr.com, T-U-M-B-L-R.com. I did get an account to Tumblr, and I tried to do some searches. I've got to say... I'm still struggling to find a blog there that I enjoy reading. I mean, I've only spent a couple of days on it, but I haven't found anything that's insightful
yet.
I
guess, you could say that they're not appealing to our demographic, right?
I'd say these definitely are not appealing to my demographic. But I'm trying. The thing is, Jim, I'm trying to think young. So I went into okay. Think like you're 18, and let's go into the blog. Let's try to do this thing. I really tried to get into it because I knew we were going to talk about David today, and I have to tell you, I couldn't.
It's not your cup of tea.
I could not get into it.
You know, I heard it said last week that with this move, Yahoo, basically what they did was buy themselves some cool, right?
That's really what they did. That's what they did. And so now they have to try to monetize it without making it uncool.
Mm-hmm.
That is the challenge.
Well, you know what? We're cooler than they could ever be, right?
That's right.
So you're listening to Tech Talk Radio. Hope you were paying attention because we have got a quiz coming up. Happens every week when you go to the classroom of the airwaves. And there's a prize for the guy that gets the right answer, or gal. So stay tuned. This is Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM, HD2. Stick around. Tech Talk continues after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
Technology is constantly changing. An effective IT manager must not only understand the possibilities and limitations of the technology, but also the requirements and constraints of the business world. Enhance your career today with a master's degree from Stratford University School of Computer Information Systems. Classes are offered day, evening, and weekends to match your busy schedule and are taught by experienced faculty members with industry experience. Earn your master's degree in as little as 15 months with an accelerated program in software engineering, information systems, information assurance, or telecommunications. Learn more about earning your master's degree from Stratford University at stratford.edu or call 1-800-444-0804. Disclose statements available at stratford.edu/disclosures. Stratford University, 1-800-444-0804.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
It's time for Washington's most popular and longest-running radio game show, the Stratford University Pop Quiz. Now, here's your host and star of our show. No, it's not Gene Rayburn. It's not Alex Trebek. It's not Richard Dawson. It's Dr. Richard Schertz.
You thought this was a radio show.
I didn't think that at all.
No, because you've learned.
I've learned.
You are just right on the money.
Sharper than a
beach
ball.
Well, many other people could be new listeners think it's a radio show. But actually, it is a classroom of the airwaves because we cover very significant technical content. And when there is a class, there must be an assessment. So we have a pop quiz to assess whether our radio listeners have been listening to the show. If you get the correct answer to the pop quiz, you'll get two tickets to fine dining at the Escoffier Dining Room at the Karem Dining Room at the Stratford University campus, either in Woodbridge or Falls Church. Earlier in the show, I was talking about David Karp, of course, the founder and CEO of the short-form blogging platform Tumblr. What was the name of David's first company that he formed? If you get the correct answer to that, you'll win the two tickets to fine dining. Now, how can they reach us, Jim?
Well, time's a-wasting, so pick up the phone and call us. If you're calling from east of the Upper West Side, it's 877-936-9333. From west of Williamsburg, Brooklyn, it's 877-936-9333. And of course, everybody else can call on the wild card line, and that's 877-936-9333. Or
if you're calling from Tokyo, Japan, where David was hiding out for 5 months, you can use Skype. Simply connect to Tech Talk Radio 1, and that will forward directly to the studio for a call, which is free of charge.
And Professor Andrew Mitchell, who is in charge of prize distribution, is currently on the phone.
Now we have the Russian internet use is exploding. Now, this is quite interesting. Russia, you know, we always view sort of this as a closed society. But actually, now more than half of all Russians are using the internet at least once a week. Now, America crossed the 50% barrier more than a decade ago. But this is quite significant for Russia because only 5 years ago, probably fewer than 5% of the people of the Russians were on the network. The Russian internet provider Runet, R-U-N-E-T, Runet, is relatively free and unfettered by the Russian government, which is, you know, quite unlike many of these other countries which have, you know, dictatorial rule. Russia's kind of letting it just go. There's no Russian equivalent of the great Chinese firewall. And with a few exceptions, people are free to publish pretty much whatever they want. So the fact is a growing majority of Russians now have access to information that's essentially free of government control. And this is actually bodes well for the future of Russia, because the more people know, the less government can oppress them, and the more chances you will have that that society will become freer as information control is relaxed. And there are also many positive changes going on in Russia, and this is probably part of it. So hopefully it will continue. Yet another example where the internet has made a big impact.
Well, let's go right to the phones because they've been ringing off the hook. We're going to go directly to line two, and I'm sure there is a story that goes with this call. This is Alex, who's calling from the tri-state region, Hoboken, New Jersey.
Wow, very
Alex?
Good.
Hey there.
That's right.
Hey, how are you listening to us in Hoboken?
Actually, I'm on the road in Pennsylvania right now, heading down for some Memorial Day visiting.
Ah,
so which
good.
State are you listening on, 1500 or 820 then?
I am on, 1 second.
He's not sure. Right?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm sorry.
How did you find us?
Just scanning through the airwaves here in the mountains of Pennsylvania, and I found the station you guys were about the only interesting thing to listen to around here.
Well, I think he doesn't even have to answer the question
now. That's very good. Earlier in the show, we talked about David Karp, founder of the short-form blogging platform Tumblr. What was the name of his first company that he formed?
It was Davidsville.
That is correct. You will win two tickets to Fine Dining, to Scoffy, or Karim Dining Room. Just stay on the line, give your name, number, and name and email address to Andrew, and we'll get those tickets out to you next week.
Alex, thanks an awful lot. Thank you for listening. Have a safe trip, and we hope you stay with us and listen to us on the web back in, when you get home to Hoboken, New Jersey. You are listening to Tech Talk Radio. This is Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM, HD2, and we will have more of Tech Talk right after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
Budget analyst, a vice president of sales. These are today's business leaders, and a degree from Stratford University's Tyson's Corner or Woodbridge campus offers you a powerful path to navigate the corporate world. The School of Business Administration at Stratford University offers both bachelor's and master's degree programs for a real-world education. In fact, many of today's Stratford business grads are working in their chosen fields. Make it work for you. Get working. Check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu. An executive chef at a trendy restaurant, a hotel general manager at a prestigious resort. These are the high-profile positions in the culinary arts and hospitality management industry. Get working towards your bachelor's or master's degree at Stratford University's Tyson's Corner or Woodbridge campus. In fact, many of today's Stratford culinary arts and hospitality grads are working in their chosen fields. Make it work for you. Get working. Check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. Let's talk about honeywords that help signal a data breach. Now, you've all heard of the honeydew list. This has nothing to do with the honeydew list. These are honeywords, as in honeypot. Security experts have proposed a simple way for websites to better secure highly sensitive databases that are used to store passwords. They create false honeyword passcodes that when triggered, that when entered, will trigger alarms that the account hijacking attacks are underway. So you see they have got false passwords in accounts. So they just monitor those, and if anybody tries to log into those false accounts, they know that there's been a data breach. And so they can then take action quickly instead of waiting for the results of the data breach to occur. This suggestion builds on the already established practice of creating dummy accounts in computers known as honeypot accounts. Because the dummy accounts don't belong to a legitimate user of the service and are normally never accessed, they can be used to send a warning to site administrators when attackers are able to log on to them. The new and complementary honeyword measure proposed in a research paper titled Honeywords, Making Password Cracking Detectable, was devised by the RSA Lab researchers Ari Jules and MIT cryptography professor Ronald Rivest, who is the R in RSA cryptography schemes. The new measure calls for a file storing cryptographically hashed passwords that contain multiple passwords for each account. Only one of these passwords is valid. Attackers who manage to crack the hashes would have no way of knowing if the corresponding plain text password were real for a particular user. Logging into an account with one of the decoy passwords would immediately cause the honey checker, located on a separate hardened computer, to issue an alert to the administrator. So sites might store 20 hashed passwords for each user. So there's only a 5% chance that if he picks any one account that he's going to get the right password. And so that would be the major problem. Logins would actually be very quickly detected.
Why, we have somebody with a fresh haircut that just walked into the studio. And he's wearing a badge.
Uh-oh.
Speak in. Sign in, please, listener.
Yes.
I don't need no stinking badges.
You're wearing one.
Hey, I missed the elevator to the galaxy story.
Oh, we haven't
done the space elevator yet.
No.
We just finished up on string theory, though.
That's your go-to story on a long weekend. Don't you know that? Yeah, that's the story you always pull out.
No, this weekend, the go-to story is how Google is going to take over the world.
It's a long drumbeat
of capturing your data. This is going to be getting to that a little
bit.
Did you
get John Walsh's old black leather jacket?
Yeah, I did.
Didn't need anymore.
I got it on eBay.
That's very nice. I got it on eBay.
It was nothing says high tech. I got a good deal on it.
Nothing says high tech like black leather jackets. That's very nicely done, Doc.
So, what do we owe the purpose of this?
Well, I saw that you had about 10 minutes of show left, and I want to come down and eat up about a minute of that.
Could
just say hello and see how you're doing.
We just did
plan for the Memorial Day weekend?
I am. I'm all ready for it.
What does a PhD guy like you do on a weekend like this?
Well, I sit around and read technical. I sit around and read technical papers. Maybe I, you know, set a little bit of general relativity.
Marianne, let's do the square root game. Come on.
and then they, you know, I log onto Luminosity and do brain exercises.
Wow. Wow. I just feel like Mr. Peanut all of a sudden. Anyway.
Go back to the kettle, David.
See, some guys go to the gym and pump iron.
He pumps his brain.
Pumping your brain.
I try to pump my brain.
Pump you up. That's right. Well, anyway, that's all I had to say. I have nothing else, man. Normally, I give you a homework assignment, but I don't have any homework.
No. You gave me a homework that I haven't done yet.
Oh.
Remember the remote control gate?
Yes.
There are points off on this.
I've actually only about have it half completed. But if you come back next week,
I'll give you
a full report on the remote control gate that will be controlled by your iPhone.
You're just too good to me. You really are, Doc.
So it's going to be a good solution.
In your honor, I'm buying a black leather jacket today.
I was going to say no. Steak dinner for the doc is
steak dinner for the doc. Mm-hmm. Very nicely done, sir. As long as you don't talk about anything deeper than cookie sheet at dinner.
No, I won't.
I'm going to keep up with you.
Okay.
Should I do the space elevator when you come in next
Please
week,
do.
Too?
Please do.
You always love the space elevator.
Wait for me.
Okay.
All right. That's it. I got to go.
David, thanks a lot.
Okay. All right.
We are going to take a break. This is Tech Talk Radio on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM HD2. We'll be right back after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
Application and software developers shape our world. Those who design and build these systems are the leaders we follow. The School of Computer Information Systems at Stratford University's Tyson's Corner or Woodbridge campus offers programs with a real-world, hands-on education. In fact, many of today's Stratford IT grads are working in their chosen field. Make it work for you. Stratford University. Get working. Check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu. A rewarding future as a holistic caregiver or nurse practitioner. Combining the art of caring with the human science makes nursing today's breakout field. Stratford University's School of Nursing at the Tyson's Corner or Woodbridge campus offers a patient-centered approach with valuable core clinical training. Stratford provides a real-world education in nursing. In fact, many of today's Stratford nursing grads are working in their chosen fields. Make it work for you. Get working. Check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. And let's talk about Google's plan to take over the world. Google just isn't the backbone of the internet anymore. It's rapidly becoming the backbone of your entire life, thanks to all the information that we voluntarily give up. It's most apparent in their program Google Now, which is a voice-powered personal assistant that was launched on Androids last year and was launched on iPhones this year. In 2013, at the 2013 Google I.O. conference, it became clear that Google no longer sees search as simply returning a list of 10 or 20 items. Google now thinks more that it's the embodiment of the Star Trek computer, an intelligent machine that understands natural language in real-world context to assist you before you even know that you need assistance. So I signed up for Google Now for I'll give an aside. And so it figured out where I work. So every morning, it tells me how long is what the drive time is to work. So it just
and is it accurate?
And it knows to do it. Well, it's only 5 minutes.
So they can't screw it up.
No, so it's only 5 minutes. Okay, but it actually isn't accurate because there are two stoplights, and Google is not able to predict whether they're both red or green. So it's only 5 minutes if I get all green lights.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not really.
So it's the same prediction every morning then.
It's always 5 minutes because it's always light traffic, and they haven't been able to actually monitor the cycles of the red light yet.
So you go to work at 4:30 in the morning, which is why it's so light, right?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. 4:30. Yeah, 4:30. California time. Okay. Now, for instance, it knows what sports teams you like based on what you searched for. So Google now will just give you the sports teams that you like because it kind of monitors what you've searched for in the past.
Mm-hmm.
It knows kind of what stocks you like. If you've searched for stocks, it remembers that. And so then it just gives those stock reports to you automatically. It has access to your calendar, so it reminds you when to leave for an appointment. It knows where it is, what the drive, and it says, okay, you better leave for your appointment now because it's across town, drive's a little heavy. All this is done automatically. So this data is all delivered to you without you even having to ask.
Yeah.
They got these little cards that kind of pop up under Google Now. Now, and then you can talk to it. This is what the Star Trek, they say, you talk to it, and the voice recognizes, Star Trek computer, I'm kind of hungry for a pizza. And then they'll tell you, it'll just come back with the closest pizza place for you. It's very quickly. They recently launched this for iPhone, for iPad. It's also coming soon to the Chrome web browser. Next year, if you want to buy Google Glass, you'll be wearing Google Now on your face. So you walk around, and it'll just give feedback to you whatever you need. So it's becoming sort of all-intrusive. Google scans every single picture that you upload to Google Plus. What it does, it learns what your family members look like. It groups photos of your family members together. It can tell if your subjects are smiling. So if you've got a subject smiling in three photos, in one photo they've got their eyes closed and are frowning, it will take the face from a good photo and paste it into the bad photo so everybody's smiling. It does that automatically.
This is a little scary.
Yeah. It actually knows where you've been taking your pictures because it's got the GPS data. So it knows the mountain pictures or whether you're taking puppy pictures or whether you're buildings or famous landmarks. So it groups all your photos automatically into the mountain pictures, the puppy pictures, the building pictures. Now, so, you know, actually it's getting to know an awful lot about you. You start thinking about how intrusive this data is. And they're moving along. Android has activated more than 9 million activations. Android's had 9 million activations to date. It has the potential to connect billions of people to the internet for the first time in the next few years. Then Google Maps. Google Maps, they've transformed Google Maps. Now they make it personalized. So the new Google Maps, they sort of know what restaurants you go to. So if you do a Google map of the neighborhood, it will highlight the places that you've been. So it becomes a very personalized map based on what you've done. Google is getting into the payment business. You can now send money through using Gmail instead of using PayPal. So it does benefit us because we're able to search faster. We're able to get better transportation. We're able to get automated news updates. We're able to get all kinds of good stuff. But we're giving up lots of data, and Google mines that data.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why do they do it? Because the more they know about us, the more they know which ads to send to us. And the more they send ads to us that make sense, the more money they make. So Google's plans to take over the world, and we are voluntarily giving up all the money to allow that to happen.
So there you have it.
Yep.
We'll see you next week. Doc, thanks for being with us this week. And this is Tech Talk. If you missed this show, part of it, or would like to hear it again, it replays tomorrow at 2 o'clock.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Power of Attorney, an educational
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWT FM HD2 Manassas. This is Federal News Radio, on the air at 1500 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com. The only radio station in the world dedicated to serving the federal executive and government contractor. It's our mission to provide news and information that helps federal managers do their job better and help facilitate the business of government. Federal News Radio talks to the people who make government work to build a sense of federal community, discuss best practices, and explore lessons learned. Every weekday from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Federal News Radio interviews federal newsmakers one-on-one to explain how their news affects agencies and contractors. The Washington, D.C. home of Navy athletics. Nights and weekends, WFED broadcasts all the action of the Navy midshipmen. This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers.